Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Hour number two of the program coming your way. We'll touch on some more college basketball a little bit later on. 913-3810-810, the phone number. We talk NFL football, Chiefs football to be precise. Kent Swanson is with us from Arrowhead Pride. He joins us on our Sprint guest line. Kent, how are you?
I'm great, Saran. Pleasure to be on with you, man.
Well, it's our pleasure, and I love what you wrote there at Arrowhead Pride and your breakdown. It looks exactly like the same kind of mindset that I'm in. And let's start with the off season. Every off season for every fan, and this is why I appreciate what you took the time to do and write and break down, is always about, okay, what free agents are out there and who do we land? And it's about, you know, what are our one or two biggest holes, and let's tape it together with the biggest name I can find in that hole. And in reality, this year is a year that the Chiefs probably need to use some restraint. They can create some cap room with veterans. Everyone's aware of Tom Bahaly and his contract, and Derek Johnson could be sent going, the money that was opened up with Alex Smith. But it might be better to just hold your water and set this team up more for some additions in 19 and 20, right?
Absolutely. And I think that's kind of where I'm headed and kind of where my mentality is, because, you know, there is some significant cap issues that they're trying to address. And I also think that Brett Veach has shown and proven that he can still most likely cobble together a talented cheap roster within those constraints. So I think that they should try to take the approach to allow him that opportunity this year to create some flexibility moving forward in 2019.
The one guy that you seem, you know, we mentioned Haley, Derek Johnson, you're kind of like me. You're not sure what to do with Derek Johnson, right? I mean, if he wants to back on that $10 million number, no, he's not going to be back. We'd both love to see, I think, Derek Johnson, if he's going to wear a football uniform next year, make it a Chiefs uniform, but it's got to be cheaper. Do you expect that to happen, or does the cold, harsh reality of the Jamaal Charles situation, is that what we're going to watch with Derek Johnson?
You know, I've tried to kind of read between the lines on some of the things that have been out there about Derek Johnson and his situation, and I do think that there is some interest from him, from what I can pick up on, to play at a reduced rate with the Kansas City Chiefs and end his career in Kansas City. And, you know, on a limited snap basis, I think he can still contribute at a relatively high level. I think you kind of saw his snap count diminish over time at the end of last year. And I think, if you can get him kind of at a rate closer to the guaranteed contract that he's – or guaranteed money that he has on his contract for 2019, I think he could be a solid contributor and a good veteran presence in what could be a very young roster.
Now, those are the veteran guys that the Chiefs have to make decisions on Haley and Johnson. But what I like, you also have the list: Benny Logan, Albert Wilson, Zach Fulton, and Dustin Colquitt. And you're of the mindset you let them all go and look to pick up compensation picks in the 2019 draft. Is there one in that mix that you say, okay, this is a guy though that this organization can't let go?
Well, I think they could probably get away with letting all of them go. If I did have to pick one, I would say Benny Logan would be the guy that I would look hard at trying to keep. It just kind of depends on the value and how much they can, you know, get him for. But that's probably the biggest area of concern heading into this offseason is the defensive line. And, you know, he did contribute at a high level this year. I felt pretty good about his role. And he's probably the hardest of all those guys to replace. So if I'm going to have to, you know, take one of those guys back, it's probably Logan.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, they have such a need already along the defensive line. I mean, that, do you agree? Like, if you were to identify what their biggest need is right now, let's assume that all those guys, everyone's on their roster right now, what would you call their biggest need right now?
It's the front seven. Any help that they can get there is going to it's a definite need. I mean, I think honestly, you know, at this point with Eric Berry and Kendall Fuller into the mix, their secondary is pretty good. If they can just find a way to improve that front seven, they're going to create some problems next year if they can stay healthy.
You also talk about guys you would consider cutting to create some room. And you basically talk about, Ron Parker, Daniel Sorensen, both the safeties, as guys that maybe they need to take a look at long-term as to whether or not these guys are actually producing what their contracts are. Is there anyone you'd really beat the drum for that they got to move on from this contract and get it out from under, or anyone you expect them to cut?
I think Ron Parker is the easiest place to save money without impacting the success of the defense or failure of the defense. He's a guy that he's 31. He's well respected within that organization, obviously, from everything you can tell. But his performance was substandard. And I know you can say his part of it was just trying to replace Eric Berry. Well, if you need Eric Berry to be on the field for you to have success and be a solid contributor, you've got problems. I think that's the easiest place they can save money, and that's the easiest place that they can get more athletic, quicker, and save some money at the same time, kind of thing.
And where do they go for the replacements? Just draft and rookie free agents? You talked about that they really need to hit on one of those guys, which they have in the past. But I mean, are all the replacements for all the guys going to be coming out of the draft?
I don't think it'll all be the draft. I would look at some. There's some solid safeties in this draft that I'm interested in. But I think if you look, you can find some niche roles at safety at cheap rates. I mean, the Chiefs did a really good job the last couple of years before this year of finding guys that were they found value at safety. You think about guys like Tyvon Branch and Will Demps, guys like that. They were able to bring in some contributors in that area. I think they can do it again. And, invest in a young safety, bring in a guy kind of off the scrap heap, try to find some value. Maybe look at a couple interesting reserve future contract types. Just kind of try to piece that together with, just a lot of opportunities at low rates this offseason.
Hussein Abdullah, another safety that they did. You're right. They've had kind of the Midas touch when it comes to finding cheap quality safeties out on the market. We're talking to Ken Swanson from Arrowhead Pride here about the off-season plan and how the Chiefs should go about doing things here. How many of the guys you've got? One of your subjects is bet on your young guys: Tano Passanio, Kemi Olegua, Jehu Chesson, and Leon McQuay. How many of those would you, if you were sitting in a personnel meeting over at Arrowhead right now, would you go, "This guy's a player. We're fine. Clear out whoever's in front of him."
I think the one I'm most confident in is Tano Passanio. I think he'll make a big step this year, kind of learning a new position. But he's got rare athletic traits. He's a guy that I would be very interested to see get more run. I also really liked what Joaquin Maligue did last year in the preseason. He's a guy that I think he's a guy that could take some steps, and he did some good things in the Denver game. He's actually playing as an edge. I don't think he's going to, obviously, as a full-time player, but even in the Denver game that Pat Mahomes started, he was playing. He played pretty well. So those are two guys that I would be very interested in seeing get more run next year.
Yeah, and do you think Passanio is a linebacker, or do you think he's a defensive end?
Well, I don't think they would have wasted a year on him if they weren't going to try to develop him as an edge. I liked him more as a five technique coming out in the draft, but he did show some of the flexibility and the athleticism to be able to stand up. And, his athleticism did flash at times, both on special teams and as an edge. So would that be my choice coming out? No, but I think they're kind of putting him in that situation to be a stand-up edge. And I think, he showed enough to continue to get looks there.
Yeah, I get it that he can run a little, but he doesn't play the run well. And off that edge, to me, you got to set the run. We see Justin Houston do it better than anybody else. I mean, he looked like D Ford against the run. And that's a whole different mindset out there to go out there and take on a pulling guard or a tackle and a fullback and turn him back onto the inside. And I don't know. I mean, that's a whole – you're talking about a guy who's still kind of trying to learn how to be a defensive lineman that they tried a linebacker. That was one of my – I know it sounded great when he was covering – C.J. Spiller the one time they had a go route. Like, that was like, to me, that's the 2017 St. Joe myth, right? There was one play where they ran a wheel route to Spiller, and Pastrnak went stride for stride, and suddenly he was Lawrence Taylor. And we didn't see it manifest, although he did get on the field more as the year progressed. But I like him. I just like him as a defensive lineman. But they've got to need a defensive line. So, I don't know. I think that's going to be intriguing. Do you have any confidence that Bob Sutton's going to figure out the riddle of him? I mean, that's not really the purpose of your piece. Is more about personnel. But where do you stand on confidence level with Bob Sutton figuring out whoever it is he's given to work with?
You know, I think if they rework that roster a little bit, I think he can get back to some of the things that he's really good at. And if they're able to play more man defense, and if they're able to pin their ears back and kind of be aggressive with their blitz packages, I think they should be able to kind of get back to what we've seen with a larger sample size with Bob Sutton. And I think Kendall Fuller is a big part of that. You know, that corner group is probably one of the strengths of the team at this point now. And Kendall Fuller in the slot specifically, if the Chiefs are able to get teams in situations where they're having to use lighter personnel and the Chiefs can have three corners on the field at the same time, I actually feel very confident that the defense can kind of get back to the form that we've seen. They've got solid pieces at every level of the defense. You know, they've got Chris Jones and Justin Houston, Eric Berry, strong corner group. I think there's a lot of talent and a lot of significant players at every level of the defense. So if they can just get a little bit more athletic, get some more depth there, I think they'll be in good shape. And I think Sutton will be able to get back to some of the things that he's been good with.
We're talking to Ken Swanson from Arrowhead Pride here, who's put together his free agent plan. And the other part that I think is very astute on your part that a lot of people forget is you mentioned the contracts of Tyreek Hill, Marcus Peters, Chris Jones, Reggie Ragland, and Kendall Fuller all end after the 19th season. That is a kick to the nuts if you have to handle all those guys at once. And that's the big one for me. I mean, Chris Jones is kind of enigmatic. I'm willing to say that he needs better coaching, or they need a better scheme or a better plan, because when he flashes in a big way. We know what Marcus Peters is. And it's a handful, but a super talent. And Ragland came on. Fuller was the highest-rated player on the Redskins' defense, and we think going to be the biggest impact guy on this team. And, of course, Tyreek Hill is their number one wide receiver and should only get better with the stronger arm Mahomes throwing the ball. You have to start locking those guys up. You cannot face all five of those guys in one off season. You can't lose them all. And so, to me, you've got to start taking those guys and getting them done. And what would be nice is if the Chiefs would front-load some of those deals to create cap room when we get to the third or fourth year of the deal. That's not been their history. They've never done it. They've always backloaded everything, and they're always just trying to scrape by and keep pushing things off to the future. I mean, to me, this would be the spot where you use your cap room to make sure those guys are signed, because imagine a world without those players in 2020.
Well, absolutely. I think that's your next core. I think that's the next core of this team that will be, once the Justin Houstons and Eric Berry start to age, that's your new core. And the good news is Marcus Peters, they can actually start negotiating with him on an extension this year. He is 3 years removed from his rookie deal. The other three, they're going to have to wait until the end of the 2018 season. But that's really kind of the root of why I was looking at this offseason the way I was looking at it, is because if they can have the flexibility next year to front load some of those contracts and take on big cap hits with the 2019 cap, I think they're going to position themselves really well for the future. And if Pat Mahomes continues to succeed and get better, they're going to have some big contract decisions to make when his contract's up too. So that is really the kind of the root of why I looked at it the way I did.
So where would you sit on Marcus Peters? Everything that it is, we're talking about a corner contract to get him to sign early, tens of millions of guaranteed dollars. Are you willing to risk that and feel confident that he's going to be out there every week?
I am. I feel pretty comfortable about that. His production speaks for himself. And I know there's some issues that have kind of arisen in the last year or so, but I do feel confident that Andy Reid and that organization is strong around him. I think Eric Berry's a significant impact on him, and I do think that they'll be able to trust him enough to give him a significant amount of money.
And he's the only one they can get done right now. And would you agree that it's put up or shut up time with him? I mean, if you don't, you're looking at picking up that fifth-year option, and then you're looking at franchise tags, which isn't the worst thing in the world if you don't trust giving them the guaranteed money. The more security he's had, the worse his off-the-field, or I don't even want to say off-the-field because he's not been arrested, and that's unfair to the young man. But the more, let's say, volatile he's been in and around the team, culminating ultimately in being suspended one game this year, I mean, you agree that if you don't get it done now, this offseason, and try to say, listen, we're going to trust in you, kid, but here's our number, here's all it's worth. After that, we're on a year-by-year basis. That is exactly how you have to go about it, is year-by-year after this.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And, you know, he's really, I mean, you can take a look at the opportunities you have with, you know, Peters right now and just see where you guys are both at. And it doesn't hurt because he's the only one that they can really work with as far as the next wave of talent. So it's worth at least exploring, seeing how you guys are, you know, aligned on figures and all that. But I think it is worth at least exploring this year.
Yeah. We're talking right now with Kent Swanson from Arrowhead Pride about the Chiefs offseason and what we expect to happen and what their strategy will be. So we like kind of the patience approach. Do you think they'll be patient, or do you think they feel pressure to not only, you know, use this opportunity right now, but maybe, for lack of a better term, prop up Patrick Mahomes and give him every opportunity to succeed here in his first year as a starter?
Yeah, you know, I do think they're going to take a patient approach. And I think, you know, maybe I'm looking a little too much into all the moves that Brett Veach has made to this point. But there seems to be some creativity to all of them. And I think that trend is going to continue. I'm trying to identify creative ways to improve this roster without hamstringing them for the future. And I think, you know, kind of having to pay for some of the sins of John Dorsey, they've done some really good things. You know, they've identified players at a value that I think they've gotten a good return on investment on the likes of Reggie Ragland. And, you know, investing in a young player like Harrison Butker instead of, you know, going off the scrap heap and trying to find a street free agent kicker. I do think we're going to continue to see creativity from him, and I'm not really expecting a ton of big moves this offseason.
I'm not a big proponent of just like, oh, we're going to draft all one side of the ball. I've watched it. I watched the whole Vermeil era, and everybody say do everything on the defensive side, and that's predominantly what they did, at least with all their early picks. And it ended up basically rendering the offense old and worn out by the time they actually started getting some defensive players. There was nobody left to play on the offensive side because everybody had either gotten really expensive or old. So I'm not a big proponent of just, oh, every pick's going to be on defense because we suck over there. You got to constantly be replenishing both sides of the ball. That's the best player available philosophy. And if you always adhere to the best player available philosophy, I believe that eventually you'll fill up all the spots. It'll work out. And if not, there'll only be one or two spots that you have to go out there and get. That's my background to this question, which is, what do you think they will do? Will they actually go with the best player available, or will we at least see second, third, maybe fourth, all go to the defensive side of the ball?
You know, I think it'll probably be a defensive-focused draft. However, at 54, their first pick in the draft, there's a lot of ways that they can go, and there appears to be at this point a lot of interesting prospects in a lot of different positions. So I do think they'll probably go with the best player available strategy with that second round pick, and then kind of see how the board plays out from there. Because, you know, there's probably 6, 7, 8 positions they could go at 54, and I would be thrilled with, because there's going to be value there, especially if the quarterback class gets propped up and teams are aggressive, you know, moving up and trying to get those guys. So I do think it'll be defensive focused, but 54 is going to be very intriguing to see how they approach that and what kind of value they're going to be able to get at what position.
Were you a Pat Mahomes? Were you a big fan of that when that move made?
Very much. And I think as far as I kind of wrote about this a little bit last year. I think Kansas City specifically is the kind of situation that puts him as a QB1 on a lot of people's boards. So I was very high on him.
Yeah, I am too. And I'm looking forward to I think there's going to be some rough days, but I think there's going to be many more good days than there are bad days. All right, we're talking to Kent Swanson here from Arrowhead Pride. Time for our final four. Kent, it's brought to you by our friends at the Kansas Lottery. Callers 8 and 10 win $30 in X Family Games instant tickets from the Kansas Lottery. Get excited in February. Receive four times the points all month long every time you submit an X Game Multiplier Super Ticket into your play-on account. For more information, visit kslottery.com. Kent, I will start you with this one. The Chiefs do or don't re-sign Marcus Peters?
They do.
Okay. Down for that. I'm not sure. I still kind of think the Kendall Fuller move might be giving them insurance. I think it's going to depend on what his demands are. But I gave you one or the other, so I appreciate where you're going. Will Andy Reid ever coach in a Super Bowl again, yes or no?
Yes, he will. And Patrick Mahomes will be the MVP.
I like that. The Chiefs' 18 record is what? You know, long way to go, a lot of personnel moves. But what are you feeling for next year?
I'm feeling 9-7. Maybe sneaking into the playoffs.
Okay. And finally, more touchdown passes the next 4 years. Alex Smith or Patrick Mahomes?
Pat Mahomes.
Yeah. I think he's going to win it early and run away and hide, too. I don't think that's even going to be close. Hey, Kent, great stuff. I love it. I love the practical approach, and I agree with your breakdown. We appreciate the time, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Kent Swanson from Arrowhead Pride. Good stuff. Wrote a great piece there and breaks down every angle of it. The one other thing that I probably didn't mention that he has in there is to avoid all the free agents, save maybe one. You know, he points out the guys not to be signed and the Dustin Colquitt mix, Benny Logan, Albert Wilson, Zach Fulton, that all of them would bring compensation picks. He said Logan might be the one guy. But if you let them all go, that's four compensation picks you're looking at getting back. He said maybe one free agent. Maybe one real free agent, then you get three picks back. But any free agent you sign, you're going to lose a comparable pick, whatever you're going to get. So if you let Albert Wilson go and you sign an Albert Wilson type, you're going to lose that pick that you would get. By the way, he's predicting Albert Wilson to the Bears, and I think that's a pretty good pick with Matt Nagy there. But he said, listen, the guys that are cut, there is no compensation. So if Aqib Talib is cut or Muhammad Wilkerson is cut or any player that is a cap cut, those do not come with compensation. They're not an unrestricted free agent and therefore don't cut into whatever compensation you're going to get. That is one of the riddles that I think John Dorsey played well. He did not play the cap part. He did not see over the horizon well enough on getting contracts done on Justin Houston and Eric Berry and I think Alex Smith as well, Smith being definitively the third on that as far as what he ended up paying Smith for the position, but the other two. But what he did very well, and I think Andy Reid's a big part of this, and I think Brett Veach and Andy Reid will work even better along this front, is playing guys, creating a value, letting them go, getting extra draft picks. I mean, I think that's part of what they do. And maybe that's Brian Witzman over the horizon. I don't know. When he was starting over Fulton early on, I didn't get it, but you know, if you're going to go out, if Aqib Talib is made available and you get a veteran corner to come in here and work along with Marcus Peters and Kendall Fuller and you know, now you got a really good mix in the secondary, and maybe that's even moves somebody in that corner mix back into the safety spot after some of the cuts he's talked about. But the one other thing he did mention, which is an important nugget, is that you don't lose compensation if you're getting a cut. So, you know, I love me some Sheldon Richardson. If you think you can handle him, I talked to a couple NFL people at the Super Bowl. They weren't enamored with the idea of being able to handle him. And if Seattle gave up a second-round pick for him and they're letting him go, it means that they had a year with him and went, not so much. But he would certainly cut into whatever pick compensation you get. And depth of picks allow you to throw numbers at it. I mean, I believe one of the reasons why the Chiefs found Jamal Charles and got Jamal Charles in that 2008 draft is he was one of three third-round picks, and they could throw numbers at it. Brad Cottom, him, and then the safety.
Oh.
It was like Ohio State. Was it DeJuan Morgan?
The Morgan or?
Oh, wait, was it Pollard? Or
was
Pollard?
I think it was Morgan. I think it was DeJuan Morgan.
And the second was Flowers.
Yeah.
The first was Glenn Dorsey and Brandon Albert. They had two firsts. It allows you to throw numbers at it. So, you know, getting those extra third-round picks or fourth-round picks, and there are also chips that can be used to move up or down. When you see a guy and you want to go get him, you know, they had those extra later-round picks and enabled them to go up into the third round and get Chris Conley. Has not paid big dividends yet. Hopefully, a healthy Chris Conley will next year. But to be able to make those moves where you go, okay, we've got 10 wideouts on the board. We'll take any one of them. And the run comes, and you're down to the last two, or the guy you really covet is there, and you're 12 picks away from picking in that third round, having those extra fourths and fifths and sixths are vital, and being able to move up and go get the guy that you had graded as a bottom of the first or top of the second guy that's still sitting there somewhere in the middle of the third round.
And he mentions taking a risk with a pick. That you can do that if you have an extra pick.
Yeah.
You don't have to trade back or to pick up picks. You've got that guy, and you can afford to take a chance at a prospect where you can't. If you've got a small number of picks, you have to be exact. There's no time for risk.
All right, 913-810-810. We'll open the phone lines back up, take your phone calls, talking Chiefs football. That's a topic. I also want to get into some of the baseball contracts that are finally getting signed and whether or not there's anything we can read into that. Phone lines are open, 913-310-810. You're in the program.